I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? F*** you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, August 8th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride in a variety of ways. It seems like it's Murphy's Kingdom. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but things are increasingly discordant in a variety of ways. So yesterday we talked a little bit about the Reese Committee report. I talked about the article forwarded to me by Larry, Russ Winter's article over at winterwatch.net. Reese Committee report from 1954 shows foundations funded the collectivist capture of U.S. education, but you have to understand this is part of a much bigger plan. I think we'll talk about that again today. All roads point to, you know, finishing the great unfinished work of Genesis 11, which was what? An attempt to redo what was destroyed in Genesis 6. Now we're really mad. Now we're going to build a tower into heaven and overthrow God. That's it in a nutshell. And this culminates, and, you know, again, I've talked about this many times recently. I feel like a stuck record on this, but you can see this ultimately, the distheistic and misotheistic attitude continues to fester until ultimately it culminates in Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? They've been put up to something. They really have no idea what they're being put up to. But deception is the order of the day, and this is what ends up happening. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth, which is an interesting turn of phrase, take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. And of course, God is terrified, right? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. And you can read the rest. I've read it before, but this is not a good situation. But you can see all roads pointing that direction. There is the book that Alice Bailey channeled, a received work credited to Alice Bailey. Even Wikipedia says that. Titled The Externalization of the Hierarchy, that speaks of much of this. It's much bigger than just foundations. It's much bigger than what the Reese Committee exposed. And it's much bigger than the influence across the pond in the Fabian socialists and the Rhodes-Milner roundtable groups. It's bigger than all of that. It's, I would say, essentially above any person's pay grade. But here we are, and we have things happening at a ground level. We hear about things like toxic masculinity. So we will get back to this other stuff, the macro, the big picture, in a moment. For now, let's start with this question. Toxic masculinity. Is there such a thing? And so I would say toxic masculinity, no and yes. No, real and true masculinity, which is redundant, is not toxic, quote unquote. Yes, counterfeit masculinity, e.g. Andrew Tate, is 100% toxic. And this comes in a variety of forms and flavors. Kool-Aid comes in a variety of flavors. So Exhibit A, we've done the Andrew Tate thing over the last couple of weeks or so. And again, like I said yesterday, it's interesting that we forget he is a con artist. Andrew Tate is a con artist. And in a similar sense, as I was saying yesterday, people in Hollywood are con artists. They get paid and rewarded. They get awards for being the most convincing con in some cases. And so that's something that I think we should always bear in mind. And Hollywood is the archetype for Washington. So as the expression goes, Washington, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people. But what are they trying to do in Washington, D.C.? Influence and persuade folks. Hollywood, same thing. Different context in most cases, but influence and persuasion is the order of the day. So first entry, what is toxic masculinity? John Lovell, Warrior Poet Society, John Lovell, his video, is Andrew Tate a con artist? Here's what Tucker and Candace missed. Go ahead, please.
Most of what I do these days is talk about masculinity. Masculinity is on significant decline. Dudes have lost their way. The ancient paths are no longer being trod. I've written a book on this recently, and I really, really do care about men being able to grow and step into the roles of protector and provider and shepherds of their families. It's a really, really big deal because all of our societal problems, when you boil it down, comes down to family unit stuff. That's some of the most important stuff, and that's why I see some dudes like Andrew Tate, the most important cultural influences in existence today, and people following him. It is absolutely amazing to me that people don't realize this guy's a con artist. I cannot believe it, that even some folks on the conservative right have given him the right hand of fellowship. And maybe not per se right hand of fellowship, but tacitly. To lend some credibility from Tucker Carlson to Andrew Tate seems incredible to me.
Like, everyone's been there for years. I thought I was going to be there for years. And it certainly takes a mental toll on you. And I think jail is a different experience when you know you're innocent.
When he sets up all these, I'm like, man, I would have been asking much, much different questions. And I'm not attacking Tucker here because I really like Tucker. From what I know, I don't know Tucker personally, but I really, really appreciate Tucker. And so that's why his long interview was very upsetting to me. I'm like, man, ask him the hard stuff. Ask him about the things he has said even recently. Candace Owens recently as well.
Andrew Tate.
Long time.
I know, it's been a very long time.
And she pushed a little bit more on some of these issues, but not nearly like I would have liked. I want him exposed. He is a digital pimp. He is a pornographer. He is not a good man. He will destroy families. He's already destroying people. And so there's nothing I can do to convince a lot of you guys of what I'm saying is true. Because some of you have heard Andrew Tate, and he's had the ring of truth because he said really true stuff. I bet I could sit down with Tate and we could talk for hours on just stuff that we agree on. And we'd be like, yeah, rock on. And I would feel, amidst his charisma and winsome personality and his ability to smooth talk, I would be willing to say, I'm like, man, this guy's just like me. Birds of a feather, you and I. But the difficulty is on that huge 90% stuff that we would agree with. And I'd be like, hey, good point, Tate. Love what you just said there. There's this pernicious, deadly part that we disagree on. And this is the stuff, this will be the death knell to your life and to your future families. And it's going to absolutely wreck you, and your soul won't survive it. Do not follow Tate. Now, here is Tate in his own words. This is Milk Bar TV posted this on Twitter. And I think nobody could show you who Andrew Tate is better than Andrew Tate himself. And so I'm going to yield the rest of my time to repost Milk Bar TV on Twitter, their entire clip of just Tate answering Tate. You'll see the lie, and you'll see the smooth part, and then you'll see Tate bragging more off the cuff when he's not on stage and being all charismatic and trying to win over the internet to worship him as a cultural god. You'll see Tate, even recently, where it says it was a long time, but then you'll find out, you look at the bottom, and you'll be like, oh, this is recent. He's a con artist. And he's conning you, young men. Don't fall for it. He is not your Messiah. There's only one Messiah that you should be putting hope in, and it's certainly not him. Here's Andrew Tate debunking Andrew Tate.
First off, how long ago was your webcam business?
Yeah, so I stopped having any involvement with it, I think, 8 to 9 years ago.
The last 2 to 3 years, I've been making money on OnlyFans from its inception all the way up till now. I'm currently filming this during the COVID pandemic. You may be watching this later on, but right now during the pandemic.
And I ended up opening a webcam company where girls would sit on a laptop and they would talk to guys on the internet for money. That's what they would do. It's like, you know what? I'm taking over. So what I did is I unplugged their keyboards and plugged a new one in from me behind the screen. So the chicks would sit there and hit a keyboard that wasn't plugged in. And me and my brother, and eventually some staff I trained, would do all the talking. The girls would sit there fully clothed or a bikini. The girls were just pure, just famousers, just laughing and doing this. The titties out. One, I intimately understand the relationship between men and these websites. And they were talking to ice cold hustlers. We were taking their money, all of it. I've had and seen men give away their life savings to girls they'd never met. I've watched and I've seen it.
And they come and say, what kind of, all of it. We're milking them dry.
And I actually think a lot of the insights I give.
I had these guys selling their houses, life savings, loans, all of it to me. Give me it all.
A lot of the things I tell the world about the male mental health crisis.
You'd have a guy.
Feel bad or no?
To give a solitary.
It's the mark of a psychopath. They have no empathy. It's actually quite clever. It's very psychopathic. Textbook psychopath in that he's highly winsome and able to influence. And he's got that power, but he has zero empathy.
About men being so constantly lonely.
We got to the point where we had these guys falling in love with my models, serious, big time in love, right? Sending crazy money. And they were convinced they were going to meet the chick. This is almost where I kind of felt bad.
About how important it is to build yourself into a high value man.
Because they were like, can we meet? I've sent you $200,000. Can we meet? Can we meet? Can we meet?
About how money alone is not enough.
The problem what was is the most that one person sent to a model? Total.
Million?
Wow. Wow.
About a mil in about a year?
You don't feel bad at all.
Why the f*** would I
care?
Yeah,
I don't feel bad either.
So, thank you.
I explain all these things. A lot of these are lessons from the webcam days. I saw dudes who had a whole bunch of money, no other attributes, and they ended up on these websites spending hundreds of thousands of dollars because they didn't have anything else.
Just like Andrew Tate was unbelievable to me that he would say, listen, I have done such and such in the past, but I'm not a guy who would dwell on that. I'm not going to say I'm sorry for what I've done in the past. And he's like, he's just being honest about that. And somehow, as his just smooth words are rolling out, he's making lack of repentance and any personal accountability for wrongdoing a virtue. And we're just being like, oh yeah, he's being honest. And so he pits one virtue against a vice to turn the vice into a virtue.
But so the girl would be online for 6 or 7 hours, but then when she logged off, was sleeping or whatever, on her WhatsApp, I'd have staff. She was online 24 hours a day. Her WhatsApp, her this. She was famoosing when she was asleep. We were bringing in money for the f***ing sky.
But this is what the powers that be want. They want to make sure that the male populace is as docile as possible. And they do that with a large array of weapons. And they do that with a web of tools. And I believe that I'm the counter to that, which is the reason I ended up attacked in the first place.
And here's, maybe this is a bit bad. Here's where the famoose would start. So it'd be good. Like, I had a lot of girls who worked for me. And the best was like the Ukrainians or the Russians. It was amazing because they'd get some guy, fall in love, they'd arrange a day to meet, all this shit, I need a visa. Okay, get a visa. I need money for a visa. Okay, how much is a visa? It's $900. Oh, no, but it's not $900 because I went to the embassy. They think I'm a risk and I need a return flight there and back and I need a hotel. I need to have spending money in my bank account. They won't let me come. Or how much you need? All right, 10 grand. Boom, it's 10 G's. Boom. Okay, thanks.
Wow.
Go to the embassy, take a picture outside the embassy, boom, come back. They rejected my visa. They said we have to wait 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, they'll give it to me. Okay, baby, boom. 2 more weeks of tips. Boom, 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 boom. Because now he thinks he's going to fuck, right? He thinks he's going to get the girls. Now he's spending more than ever. 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. 2 weeks come. Some other problem.
I think I can anticipate the question you're going to ask. How do I reconcile with the fact that I used to produce pornography,
right,
or degree pornographic content?
Now men are writing to you, like, how do I...
And now men are trying to escape it.
Yeah.
Girls are desperately signing up because it's an easy way for them to make money, but without instruction, pimping can. A hoe without instruction is headed for self-destruction. So these girls, they don't have a man telling them what to do properly, they're lazy, and they end up making a few bucks, maybe, of that, and they stay on the very, very bottom of the pile. You don't want that. You've bought this course, you want to make your money back, and you want to continue to make money for a long time, so you want your girls to be elite. I'm going to teach you how to do that.
Eventually, the girl, what she would do is she'd say, oh, I don't want to go embassy. She'd give a really lame excuse to try and provoke the man to get angry. So she'd say, the embassy want me to come back, but I have a headache. That was the one we'd use. He'd be like, I just sent you $1 million. You promised you were going to come. You said you had to delay. Now you're saying you have a f***ing headache and you won't go to your appointment, to make him mad on purpose, because that would annoy any man. And then that's what we needed. We need the little trigger. And we go, why are you being aggressive? I'm not being aggressive, but you're not serious. Da, da, da. And then we'd say, but you know what? I really like you, and I'm flying to the other side of the world by myself, and now you're being aggressive, and now I'm intimidated. And we'd flip it on him, saying, well, now you're being scary. No, I'm not being scary, but you know, it's your appointment. You're supposed to go, yeah, but I feel sick, and you don't even care. Female female
you mother,
and flip it on him. Oh, flip it on him. And he'd get furious, because we were really good
playing
at
playing sides.
Yeah, poking him, to the point where he'd go, like, you're a scammer, you scam me. Get really mad. I can't believe you think I was a scammer. I was going to come. I went to the embassy. You're a fucking liar.
You should avoid, if you're a dishonest person, if you lie, if you're going to deceive me, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
The guy would get pissed off, right, and leave. Stop tipping her. Stop coming to her. But for these men, that's the only chick in the world, the only hot chick in the world who talks to him. Maybe it takes a week. Maybe it takes 2 weeks. Maybe it takes 3 weeks. He's in bed at night alone, looking at her old videos and pictures, watching her stream again from another account so she can't see it's him, sitting there going, maybe she was going to come. Maybe I just got too mad when she had a headache. Maybe I should have been a little bit more patient and she would have been my girlfriend. And 100% of the time, in less than 3 months, they'd be back with an apology, a brand new pile of money, and the cycle would repeat. We killed the game. Millions of dollars a week. And it was not just because I had beautiful girls. It's not because webcam is easy. It's because I am a genius. And I put together an apparatus of genius behind the avatar of beauty. And we f***ing conquered the internet.
It's all massively hypocritical.
Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
Welcome back. So it's interesting. We heard from John Lovell, Warrior Poet Society. Is Andrew Tate a con artist? Here's what Tucker and Candace missed, and a lot of other folks. Very interesting. You know, we're so desperate for a hero. Albert Pike was among those who said, hey, if they want a hero, we'll give them a hero. Won't be a good one, but here's a hero. Here you go. The interesting and provocative aspect of all of this, in my opinion, is we're so desperate for those things today. Why? Because of the absence of character and integrity, because of the rise of bad things. But how did this happen? Education was prepared in advance to endorse all of this, borrowing from yesterday's Reese Committee discussion. But it wasn't that long ago that the Bible was still in the public school system. Prayer was still in the public school system. Interesting, as these things start to subside and are being cast as anachronistic and superstitious and outmoded in Bertrand Russell sort of fashion, suddenly we start to experience all these problems and all of this confusion. There's the old cliche, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. What do you stand for, though? I think the Ten Commandments puts it pretty well. Jesus was asked which of these is the greatest, which of them is the greatest commandment, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. It's self-explanatory. As a parent, those are common sense. This is the one of the wow and duh realizations in my own humble estimation. And that's why I say, you know, the Bible can be summed up in one sentence or one sentiment, do love, do perfect love, and in one word, love. But if we just stick to the Ten Commandments, we get rid of a lot of confusion. You know, is the chosen a bad thing? I don't know. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol or graven image, seems to preclude that if we're going to strictly observe that. Maybe there's some Christian liberty in there somewhere, maybe not. But it's certainly a discussion, it's certainly a conversation. And there are those who would say, don't do it. That includes Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. That includes the Gospel of John. It includes all of those movies and television series. And what people don't realize is the devil is very clever. This is a long game. Just because we have a short attention span, just because we have the attention span of a goldfish, doesn't mean that the one who is playing the long game does. And so the way that it has worked over time, we can look back now and see, initially, we hear, even if there's corruption like there was with Hollywood early on, hey, you know what, we'll police ourselves, you're right, we should produce content that is virtuous and noble. And so maybe that happens for a time. If you're a bad guy, maybe that's your strategy. Hey, let us take care of this, we'll police ourselves, we'll make sure that we produce virtuous, wholesome content. And that might be a strategy to take over that environment, so that eventually, once you become known as the and recognized as the standard bearer, then you can create a little drift from year to year, decade to decade, until finally you arrive at a point in the early 1960s where Newt Minow says television is a vast wasteland, and it's only gotten worse since then. So maybe if we were going to stand for something, maybe the Ten Commandments would be a good place to start, and not in a legalistic sense. That points in a certain direction as well. It's not a stopping point. The law is a tutor. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back. All right. I want to play an extended clip from something that we'll probably have to break over a couple of segments. We'll probably play a little bit in this segment, a little bit maybe in the first segment of the second hour. And this is kind of big picture stuff. multitasking is bad. For radio. And I apologize for that. Thank you for your patience. I don't know if I want to put too much on this. So this is big picture stuff. You know, we heard about toxic stuff. Let's see. What else can we say about that? Well, probably quite a bit. I think I think that really the best way I can summarize the situation we find ourselves in is, again, who's in charge, who decides, which gets back to those Ten Commandments. The first is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. And we've, you know, we are a Romans chapter 1 society these days, very Gnostic. People don't know what they believe, say they're Christians. I have had a conversation with a person recently, and, you know, when was it? Was it yesterday that Lynn called in? Recently, Lynn called in. I think it was Lynn who said, you know, people are these, you know, essentially what people have looked up to as leaders. In some cases, I would call it demagoguery. I'm not trying to point fingers or accuse anyone of anything. I think it's, we need to be very careful with that. And, you know, again, this is why the question, who's in charge, who decides? You can look to people as examples and for leadership and things like that, but you need to have some kind of compass that keeps you on true north. What happens if that person is misled? It can happen to any one of us. Who's in charge? Who decides? Ultimately, who is the who gets the final say? Who is the final and ultimate arbiter in all issues? So I've had a conversation recently with a gentleman whom I have respected over the years, still respect very much and admire, but he's saying all kinds of crazy things, you know, about how God is one being and, you know, all this kind of crazy stuff, which does so many bad things. You know, I'm not even going to go into the details of this conversation, but holy cow. No, he's just one person. Really? Well, then why did the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus after he was baptized in bodily form like a dove? Why did that happen? And why did he immediately start performing miracles after that and not before? It's easy to misconstrue the significance of Jesus humbling himself in the form of a man. It's easy to overlook that. I've talked about that a little bit recently. And essentially what you're doing when you do that is you're denying Christ. You're denying him of who and what he is. And he said, if you deny me, I will deny you before the Father. And that's not a good situation. So, you know, I feel like saying when, you know, and this is a common thing. I mean, speaking of people saying, you know, people are falling by the wayside, these are not uncommon conversations. People are bending into this theosophical and Gnostic kind of nonsense because that way I'm still in charge. I still decide, or so I think. And you might not say that consciously. This, I think, is part of that liminal warfare. Different discussion. We'll return to in a different day. But, you know, I feel like saying when these conversations arise, you know, so what you're saying is that you are a Unitarian modalist. We talked about the Unitarian Universalist aspect of the Barbie stuff and the Gnostic messaging and the Barbie stuff. It's everywhere. The theme of things are great, and all of a sudden there's chaos, and you know, a person has to figure out how they're going to manage their life after the fall, so to speak, after the fall of perfection. My life was great, then it was turned upside down. Now what I'm going to do? That theme is everywhere. It is Gnostic and Kabbalistic in nature. That merges in theosophy. So, without belaboring the issue anymore, there's a clip, an excerpt from the video, John Pounders and David Carrico did the Midnight Ride, Sound of Freedom, The March of the New Messiah. This, again, starts to get at the issue behind Sound of Freedom. And John Pounders and David Carrico say the same thing, basically. It's not so much the movie and the subject matter. That's kind of a gateway to lure you in. Of course, any decent person is horrified, outraged, disgusted by the subject of the subject matter in the movie, The Sound of Freedom, of course. But it's what comes in tow. It's a Trojan horse, essentially, which is ironic because who was it that used that terminology? I want to say it was an interview I saw with Margot Robbie and what's her name? Greta Gerwig. I think it was an interview with those two, and I want to say that Margot Robbie said she picked Greta Gerwig because she knew she would Trojan horse some things. Some, you know, Trojan horse the what they really wanted to say. And I'm taking liberty a little bit, but not too much. That was the terminology that was used. I don't remember the interview, but it was the Barbie movie, and I want to say it was Margot Robbie as producer picking Greta Gerwig to write the script to Trojan horse some stuff, which I thought was a really interesting turn of phrase. Sound of Freedom to me is the same kind of thing. It's Trojan horse. What comes in tow with all of this? Who comes in tow with all of this? The devil is notorious for that. In places like Matthew 4, we see that the devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness. And in doing so, he quotes Psalm 91. And yet in John 8, Jesus says he is a liar and the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. How is it that he can use scripture, but there's no truth in him? Probably knows scripture better than all of us combined. How is it that he can do that? And I think the answer is that context is key, is essential. If you misrepresent context, then you bear false witness, and therefore you violate the ninth commandment. misappropriating that passage as the devil did for selfish means or selfish ends bears false witness. That's the wrong, that's a misappropriation of context. So it's possible to present information factually and still be a liar and bearing false witness. It's possible, you might say, to present information completely factual and still misrepresent, misappropriate context, for example. So, you know, it's important to understand these things, I think. And that really is the big issue with Sound of Freedom. Who's involved and where does this movie lead people? Where do they direct their attention, their efforts, their resources, if they're going to support something financially, if they're going to listen to a leader, who do they listen to? Now what do we do about this? I'm you know, we need to do something. What are we going to do? Are they going to go find someone somewhere completely removed from the Sound of Freedom, or are they going to start their investigation with that movie and the folks involved? Obviously, it goes without saying, and almost every case, people will start there. What organizations need help? Who can help me? Who can direct me to, et cetera, et cetera. So without further ado, a little bit in this segment, the remainder of this segment, a little bit from the, little bit of the excerpt I want to play. It's an hour and a half, hour and 28 minutes long. But we're going to play a little bit, probably end up being about 20 minutes, I think. But I think it's worth it. Break it over a couple of segments. Again, the YouTube video is titled Midnight Ride, Sound of Freedom, The March of the New Messiah. So, can we play that, please?
There are actually people that have come out of Catholicism, out of Mormonism, that I know that are believers. They were believers before they came out of it. They just didn't understand what they were. They believed in Jesus, right? They believed that Jesus saved them. They believed all of those things, and God let them leave that. He allowed them to, and basically made their steps so that they do leave those organizations. So to say that that's not possible, I think it would be a lie. And also to say that there aren't you know, New Agers out there that are trying to open their eyes, right? Whether or not they believe in this correct thing or not is you know, there's definitely, most of them don't. Most New Agers believe in a different Jesus, but there are some out there that are coming to Christ, that are understanding that a lot of this stuff that they've been taught is false, and it's been looking at the things that are happening in a whole different light. Now, this book that I'm getting ready to talk about here is called The Externalization of the Hierarchy by Alice Bailey. And the interesting parts of this book is that it explains what is going on in the world today in a really profound way, because you could take these principles that it speaks of and you can apply them to the scripture and see that, yes, these things are happening. The very first part of this book was called The Period of Transition, and it talks about three different ways that this transition is happening, that we're seeing it take place. And so I want to highlight a couple of those. The first transition is the transition from the Piscean Age to the Age of Aquarius. Now, the Piscean Age is the Age of the Fish to the Age of Aquarius. Now, anybody that has studied cosmology or even the biblical narrative knows that we are getting ready to go into a new age. We know that when the Messiah comes, that a new age will be formed here on earth, and things were going to change. There's going to be a major shift. So what they say about this is absolutely true. There is a shift going on. And it also talks about world war caused the breaking of the veil between the physical and the spiritual realm, to a point to where God saw everything that's going on all the violence that fills the earth, which is very reminiscent of what Jesus said in the days, of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Not only were there fallen entities messing with genetics, but there was also violence, great violence, all in the earth. That's one of the things in Genesis he talks about. Violence is all over the earth. It's all there. And so they believe that this broke this veil between the spiritual realm, and this caused the ascended masters, the planetary hierarchy, as they call it, approach and arrive on Earth. Now, what have we seen lately, David, to suggest that this, all of this stuff is playing out exactly the way that they talked about in the movie, or in the book, I'm sorry.
I have a book by Jacques Vallée, one of the premier UFO investigators, and he has a section in his book comparing the appearance of Moroni to Joseph Smith with accounts of other people that claim they have had these UFO entities, ETs, appear to them. They're just, the similarity is unmistakable. And Moroni, the angel Moroni, well, he was, but he wasn't a good angel. And with all that we, and you know, these people believe, like in this agenda, well, the ascended masters, they're going to come back and they're going to speak to us. The planetary hierarchy, which are the fallen powers in the second heaven. And look at all the talk here we have with the Vatican that they've been so upfront about. Well, boy, we could have many world saviors. And that's what Mormonism teaches. Well, Jesus come to be the savior of this earth, but there's other saviors, in other words, and all of this stuff, and all the stuff about the Vatican wanting to baptize aliens if they show up. I mean, the whole stuff smells of this belief in the return of the ascended masters, and yeah, it's just all over it.
Oh, man, no doubt, and it ties in with the Anunnaki, the return of the Anunnaki. We did a whole show about that, and the thing is, like, if you were to, let's say you realize that a lot of the structure that we have in this world is corrupt, you realize it's corrupt, you realize that it's not working, and you realize that it's set up for evil people to win. Now, when you read something like this, it really just truly makes sense. If you actually read what it says there, it's like, man, you know, like, I'm waking up and everybody else doesn't seem to be understanding what's going on. It seems like that, you know, the world is in chaos. It seems like the world is full of this. And it does seem like, too, that the veil has been broken. It seems like the veil has been torn to where we're starting to see a lot of these things. And, of course, in the Bible, it explains these things. Like, if I go back to some of these things here, about the transition from the age, we know that the Bible talks about the age coming, right? We, in the world war, breaking the spiritual realm, we know it talks about that. We know it talks about the coming back of the king. So they're using words and terminology to kind of replace the truth of what the scripture tells us. And when the scripture, when it tells us that they'll have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And what is the power thereof? The power, in the Bible, the power that's spoken of that Christians have is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a major power. Look at Samson and the power of the Holy Spirit that came over him. Look at the disciples and the power of the Holy Spirit that came over them, and the apostles and the knowledge that came over them. Now, the knowledge of what is coming has been given to us who have the Holy Spirit, but it's also been given to those people here. They start to see these things. But the problem, just like controlled opposition, is this religion is put in place of one true religion. The true religion would tell you that, yes, the age is coming. Yes, we're going to see some interesting supernatural stuff. And yes, the Messiah is turning to earth to baptize with fire. And they talk about the fire that's coming on the earth. They understand what the biblical says about it. I want to read a little quote from this book here on the externalization of the hierarchy. And I believe this is on page 3 or 4. And it says, all true spiritual thinkers and workers are much concerned at this time about the growth of crime on every hand. It sounds familiar. By the display of the lower psychic powers, by the apparent deterioration of the physical body as shown in the spread of disease, and by the extraordinary increase in insanity, neurotic conditions, and mental imbalance. That sounds pretty familiar. All this is a result of the tearing of the planetary web. And at the same time, it is part of the evolutionary plan and providing of opportunity whereby humanity may take its next step forward. And it's, if you are a New Ager and you're listening to this tonight, I don't think of you as a horrible person. I think of you as a person that wants to see the truth prevail, wants to see light, and wants to see good things. But I would tell you that the only light, the only way, the only truth is the Messiah, is Jesus, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Messiah except through him. This is very clear what the scripture speaks on that. Now, New Agers, a lot of them mix in Jesus with this. They say he's an ascended master showing us how we were supposed to live, and I agree, he is show us how we're supposed to live, but he also offered up a sacrifice for us that none of us can pass through to the next life without. In every religion, every major religion of the world that ever started, that ever takes place, there is a penalty of sin. And there is death becomes of sin. Death becomes of it. And they had to create sacrifices, blood sacrifices based on that, to make atonement for the blood that you have destroyed your own blood by sinning, right? So they had human human sacrifices too, but there was animal sacrifices. We see it in the Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews even talks about this. In order for sin to be removed, there has to be a sacrifice, right? Because we are in a curse right now. We've been under a curse, and the New Age gospel teaches us that the serpent was a good guy, and he came to enlighten us, to get us out of this entrapped matrix that Yahweh has place us in. They even call Yahweh the bad guy. And the problem with all of this is Satan, the serpent, deceived the world. It deceived mankind. It deceived the angels, right? And he deceived the angels, and he deceived all people of the world, even taking dominion through manipulation, through lies and deceit. And we see that not only do we not live forever, which we were originally in our state of eternal beings that did not die, but he corrupted our DNA to the point to where we do die now. And we do have a sin nature that we can't shake all the way. You know, the Bible and Paul talks about these two sides that are fighting against each other. We have everybody can connect with this. Everybody has that part of them in the flesh that always wants to destroy us, right? Whether it be eating foods that we shouldn't eat. It wants to destroy us through that. It'd rather eat the foods that are bad for us than eat the foods that are good for us, because that's just what our body does. It would rather be lazy than actually do the work that we're supposed to do, right? That you see so many people that don't work anymore. They don't do anything to further their families or further their communities around them, and they fall in prey to what the flesh wants them to do. Also, the flesh wants to have sex with every partner that we can, right? At least as a young man, I remember that's my game. My brain was geared towards that, knowing that even if I did this, I could risk disease. I can risk impregnating a woman and having all of these problems throughout my entire life. The flesh still wants to go after that. This flesh still wants to go after the things that are bad for us. It's just a constant battle inside of us.
And there you go. All right, that's part of the excerpt. We'll play the rest of it in the second hour, which is coming up. Stick around, second hour coming up right after the short break.
Some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3dbunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3dbunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3dbunkers.com for more details, or visit 3dbunkers.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.